healing is here. Healing is here.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise God. Such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. And we've had such a great weekend here. It was so great yesterday. We had our first Purpose Institute. And I have two sessions that I teach on Saturdays. And it's been such an honor to be able to take and teach to the awesome young men and women of Section 3 here. But you can be seated this morning for a little bit here. And I want to invite you this morning. And something a little different. I just want you to take a few moments as I'm talking here. I just want you to ask yourself to pray for yourself. Okay, as we enter into this sermon, this message this morning, maybe you're not a churchgoer. Maybe you go just a few times a year. Maybe you've never really been a faithful churchgoer. Maybe you're really not even for sure if you believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, never repented of your sins, never spoken in tongues. Maybe you're not. Don't even consider yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't really even know why you're here. Maybe you've been brought along with maybe a friend or family member that perhaps attends here. Or maybe you're here because you chose to be here. But for whatever reason that you think you're here, I want just to challenge you this morning to just turn your heart heavenly toward heaven and just ask God to speak to you this morning. Can you do that? Just say, Lord, if you're here, Lord, if you're here, and I just want to tell you, if God's never answered a prayer in your life, if you ask him, Lord, if you're here, that's a prayer that God can answer this morning. And if you're here, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you speak to me? I want to hear from you this morning, Lord. And if you came today with a heart that's open, perhaps you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church or you're a Christian, I just want you to say, Lord, just speak to me today. Because I want to preach this morning. We're going to finish this up this evening. So I'm going to start this as part one of a two-part message, that fire always follows blood. I want to start with Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5. Then the one presenting the offering must slaughter the bull before the Lord. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, must present the blood and splash the blood against the sides of the altar, which is at the entrance of the meeting tent. Now I want to take and skip ahead to chapter 9, verse 23 and verses 24 of the same book of Leviticus. And Moses and Aaron went in to the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared upon all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Then I want to finish up here with a passage from Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Fire always follows blood. Some time ago, I was reading an article. I get a lot of emails and such from Christian groups and such to kind of, you know, help ministers out and give them latest trends and all of this kind of stuff. But they also, one of these groups, it just kind of talks about things of more of an alarming note when it comes to the church. And there were three renowned denominations in our world today that gathered together at a summit, and they began to discuss the use of the word blood in their particular churches. They began with their hymnal books, and they began to go through the old hymnal books that had been a part of their church for centuries, some of these, and they began to remove all of the songs within those hymnal books that spoke about the blood of Jesus Christ. As one does not wish to offend any members or drive away any guests, we cannot turn our churches into a slaughterhouse. That was what they were actually a quote. And they hymns like, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You see, they said that the blood was a relic idea. It was out of date, and they removed it from all of their sermon materials as well as their Sunday school and their youth teaching materials. Now, as a result of their action, their churches begin to grow cold because there is no power and there is no authority if you take out the blood of Jesus Christ. As a result of their actions during the next 12-month period, they closed down over 100 of their churches, and of those three denominations, they opened up 50 Islamic mosques. There's power in the blood, and fire always follows after the blood. The religious leaders boldly declared that we don't need the blood and we won't preach the blood. But if you take the blood out of Christianity, it becomes another lifeless and a dead religion. If you take the blood out of the gospel, that men die in their sins without God, without help, without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no cleansing for our sins. We must stand before lost humanity at every opportunity, and we must preach the blood, because without the shedding of blood, according to my Bible, there is no remission of my sins. When you take the blood away from being the central theme to Christianity, the door is open for Satan to just boldly walk right in. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you have stripped away the power and the authority and the ability for humanity to be free from sin. No other single truth is more consistently spoken of in the scriptures than the blood of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, you can trace the flow of God's redeeming blood all the way from Leviticus 11 that tells us, "For the flesh of life," or the life of the flesh, "is in the blood." Now, when we look at blood this morning, how many of you have ever cut yourself? I mean, everybody's probably seen their own blood. How many of you have never seen your own blood? We know what blood looks like. What color is it? Right. Have you ever cut yourself and never bled? You haven't cut yourself good enough then, right? We have a blood drive coming up here next Saturday. When you look at blood, you look at my blood, you look at your blood, it's blood that sustains our lives. And we can look at ourselves as our human body. The blood moves throughout our body, and it brings life every place it goes. It brings life, and it removes death. Did you know that? Your blood, it brings new life to the cells and it removes old, stagnant, nasty, bad stuff from your body. It removes it. So on its way out from your heart, goes through your lungs, it's reoxygenated, it's revitalized, it's cleaned up, and it goes through your system and it ends up back in your liver where your liver cleans all that garbage and junk out. That's a really quick biology test, okay? But without blood, there's no life. It's very intriguing to me how this works. In order for our blood to move through our bodies, we have this what we call our heart. And our heart pumps blood through our body. It's a heart's pump. It's a circulatory pump that just continues day after day, minute by minute. 72 beats per minute is the average heartbeat. And in those 72 beats, it moves or pushes through your body about 1.3 gallons of blood. And if your heart stops pumping, if your heart stops pushing that blood through your body, you will die. Now, you can live without certain body parts. You know, I can live without a hand. I can live without a foot. I can live without an ear. I can live without an arm or an eye. I can live without a kidney, but I cannot live without blood. It doesn't matter how good or healthy you are, if your heart goes bad and your blood stops pumping, nothing else matters. You simply cannot live without the blood. Life is in the blood. We can't live without it. We have to have it. And when you sit down in a chair at a Touch Twice clinic and they poke a needle into you and they begin to drain blood out of your body, the blood that's removed from your body will be later matched up with someone else as they're laying on an operating table in a hospital perhaps thousands of miles away, and the blood that was once in your body still has enough power, still has the potential, still has what it takes to bring life back into another lifeless body 1,000+ miles away. I'm reminded of someone else who shed his blood, his royal blood. It was centuries ago. It was thousands of years ago. But that royal blood, it still has the power. It still has the authority, not only to just bring life into a lifeless body, but to eradicate sin from a sin-filled body. You see, John 1:7 tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. His blood removes the waste from my body. Dirt causes diseases, and we need to be cleaned. But when we look at the blood for a moment, blood isn't just red, blobby stuff that flows through our bodies. Blood actually is made up of four components. I'm not going to get real technical here this morning, but we have red blood cells. You've probably heard of that. They're blood cells that oxygenate the body for energy, and they bring nutrients to your body. You have to have red blood cells, because on their way of bringing nutrients to those parts of your body that needs the nutrients and refreshing, they, at the same time that they unload their nutrients, they pick up garbage. They remove waste in the bloodstream. They keep it clean. And I'm so thankful that John 1:4 tells me, and in him was life, and life was the light of men, because the blood of Jesus Christ keeps my life clean. We have white blood cells. White blood cells are very important as well, because they fight infections. White blood cells are the defense mechanism part of the blood and the body. Jesus died for my life. He died for my sins, and his blood destroyed the disease of sin that had been cast upon humanity. That's why we can read in Romans 6:6, and it's so comforting to me, because it was through the blood, knowing that our old man is crucified with Jesus Christ. Our old man has to be destroyed. Our old sinful nature has to go. Then in our blood, we have platelets. Blood platelets, they help the clotting process. by sticking to the lining of the blood vessels. They're smaller than red or white blood cells, and platelets are made in our bone marrow and survive in the circulatory system. They're created in the bones, but they live in our veins and the arteries. Platelets are crucial to when we cut ourselves, that they take, and as they're introduced into oxygen, they begin to coagulate, and it stops the blood from just continuing to flow. And then we have antibodies. Antibodies prevent the disease that once was there from happening again. And Jesus is our antibody. He makes sure that I don't have to deal with the same sin issues over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm so thankful for the antibodies of the blood of Jesus Christ that flows through my life. So every time the enemy tries to come and tempt me, my antibodies within that blood that flows through our veins rises up and says, "Not today." The blood of Jesus Christ, it covers our lives. It is a lot if we allow his blood as it was intended to work. You see, our blood in our bodies will work flawlessly, perfectly, as it was intended to work. But once it recognizes, once our spiritual blood recognizes old sin as it begins to come against us and tempts us, the blood of Jesus Christ, which flows freely through our livers, it's powerful satanic resistance. Its antibodies kick in and it begins to destroy the cancer of sin that is trying to enter into our lives. John 8:36 says, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." How many of you desire to be free? It's not saying that you're in bondage right now, but you know what? I don't feel like I'm in bondage living here in America, but I'd like to have a little more freedom sometimes. You can be here this morning and you don't have to be bound up by the devil to feel bound. All kinds of situations and circumstances, and we'll get into some of this. Listen to me today. Our success and victory in this life depends upon one thing and one thing only, and it is our revelation or our understanding or our level of knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. If we don't understand as a lost person, maybe you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, but if you don't understand until you come to a knowledge of the vitalness of that in your life, one will never enjoy your full benefits as a Christian until you give the blood of Jesus Christ its rightful place in your life. You can be a Christian for 20 years, but until you fully come to the knowledge of what the blood of Jesus Christ can do and what it was designed to do in your life, you will never become or come to your fullest potential. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver or silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot." His blood is an atonement. His blood is a restitution for. His blood is a payment for my sins. My sins would not be blotted out. My life would not be blotted. The sins in my life would not be blotted out and made as white as snow if I didn't understand exactly what the blood was for. Leviticus 17:11 says, "It's the blood that maketh atonement for my soul." Hebrews 9:22, "For all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." No remission of what? No remission of our sins. So if it would not be for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on a cross of Calvary, you and I here today would be forever stuck in our sins. You see, the world is in such dire need of peace. We look out today, we read the papers. If you read a paper anymore, I haven't read a paper in years. If you read the paper or if you get your news source on your your phone or your tablet or whatever, however you get your news source, you find out that the world is crying out for peace. Peace, peace, peace. But you know what? Mankind will never be able to bring true peace to this world in which we live in, because mankind is corrupt. You can't take a corrupt individual and take out of that corruption and bring perfection. It won't happen, because corruption spawns corruption. So if peace ever comes, it's not going to be a real peace. It's going to be a corrupted peace. It's going to be a manufactured peace. But I bring to you today that you can have a peace that passes all understanding. You can have a peace that comes directly from God above, right straight down into your heart and into your life. You need peace in your life today. You can find peace, and the only way to find that peace is through an understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20 tells us, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We can move on to Hebrews 10:19, and it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for me through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." So if we want to take and have time with God, and we want to have his blood give us unlimited access into his presence, if we want 24/7 access to God and the presence of God, if we need deliverance from sin, whatever it may be, whether it's depression or frustration or anger, the only way we can find deliverance is through the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood has the power to deliver us. His blood has the power to give us a clear conscience. I can read in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purging your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If you need a cleaning in your life, 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, and he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses us, it purifies us, it takes all of the garbage that's in my life and it removes it from me." You say, "Pastor, the enemy has been all over me. I can't fight the enemy." You need protection in your life. You don't have to take and beg God for protection. All you have to do is apply the blood over your mantle, over your doorpost, on the inside of your heart. And Exodus 12:13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." You see, as the death angel flew over Egypt on that fateful night, the Israelites had been instructed to take the blood of an innocent lamb and place it on the mantle and upon the doorpost of their homes. And when the death angel came, he would see that blood, and he could not pass through the blood, because it was the blood of a slain innocent lamb. And the same is available to you and I today, that when the enemy begins to come against our home and he sees the blood inside of your heart, he sees the blood inside of the heart of your children, he cannot enter in. But he cannot pass through the blood, because if he couldn't do it in Exodus, he can't do it today. You need healing today in your body. You may say, "Pastor, I've been struggling with this sickness for ages, long time, long time." Isaiah 53:4-5. If we can just get a grasp of this, church, if we can just understand that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. He was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. He took the bruising upon his body. He was beaten for my iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes those 40 stripes, the cat of nine tail, 360 stripes that he took upon his body. Every last body was there because of you, because you need healing in your body this morning. And he said, I will shed my blood. I will take upon my body. I will be bruised. I will be beaten. I will be beaten for... Healing is here. Healing is here. Will you receive it? Will you accept the fact that he was bruised? The chastisement. Well, healing. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. By that we, being dead to sins... dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. There is power, church. There is power. There is wonder-working power in the blood. I read in Revelation 12, 10 and 11, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So when we fall and we fall into sin and Satan comes at us and tries to take and narc on us to God sitting in his throne, he is the accuser of the brethren. And he accused them before our God day and night. But they overcame him. They overcame him. They overcame him. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives till the death. You need salvation in your life this morning. Perhaps you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've never repented of your sins. Maybe you don't even know what repentance is. Repentance is nothing more than if you steal something from the store and you go back to the store and you give back what you stole and you tell the store owner, I'm sorry, will you forgive me for stealing? And he forgives you. That's repentance. You're asking him to forgive you. All you have to do is come down to this altar, kneel down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, surrender yourself to God Almighty and say, God, I am a sinner. I was born in sin. I was created in iniquity, but you have offered a way out for me, and I repent of my sins. And I ask you, Lord, as I repent for my sins, I want to be baptized in your name. I want to go down in the water of baptism, the waters of baptism fully immersed. I want to be buried with you. I want to be buried in the blood of Jesus Christ. It will cover the multitudes of your sins. And when you come out of that water, you will find out tonight, as we talk about fire, always follows the blood. But the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to settle in your heart and in your mind. And as you lift your hands to God, totally sin free, just baptized in his blood, there will be a power that comes over you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And it will give you authority over the devil. Because I'm sick and tired of people getting whipped up, kicked around, and beaten down. If we could just understand the blood, it sets us apart. It sets us apart. We are sanctified through his blood. We are sanctified. We are a sanctified people. We don't have to put up with this. Sanctification means to be set apart for God. We have been set apart. God has saved us, and he sets us apart. We want to be holy. His blood declares in Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, justified as just as if I had never sinned, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justification means that I am cleared from any charges or guilt. I was a sinner. I am a sinner, but Jesus Christ, His blood will justify my life, and that His blood will make me just as if I had never been a sinner. I don't know if you feel what I feel in this place this morning, but I feel something in the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus justifies, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Paul writes that in Ephesians 1:7 to the church in Ephesus. We can be redeemed. If you need to be redeemed this morning, that means to buy back something that had been lost. So I once was lost in sin. Jesus Christ is seeking to save that which is lost. He is seeking to go to any individual that wishes to be bought back. We have been bought back with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. I was lost in sin, and along came Jesus Christ, and He redeemed me from my sin. He bought me back with a price. He paid a ransom for my soul. And ever since mankind sinned in the garden, we have been at a war with God, because sin divides us from God. Sin separates us from God, but His blood gives us victory. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all of these things, we are more. It doesn't say that we are just barely enough of A. It doesn't say that we, if we just do a little here or a little there, that we will be a conqueror. It says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You need victory in your life tonight? This morning? We're not there tonight yet, are we? Well, it's night somewhere. One reason many Christians today are weak and feeble, and they stay sick all the time, and they're afraid, and there's fear in their life all the time, is because they have not properly understood, or they refuse to accept, the application of the blood of Jesus Christ upon their lives. You see, understand one thing. Before the honor, if I could put it this way, before the honor of the blood is placed upon our lives, Satan has to leave. Do you understand that? So that means before you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Satan has to leave. Satan doesn't want to get the blood on him. You see, you may ask, you know, as a Christian, sometimes we talk about the blood. We sing about the blood. Last night I was outside and I just was walking back and forth praying. I don't know, it was probably 11 o'clock or so. Beautiful night. How many of you have been watching Mars? You watching? Isn't that awesome? It's just so beautiful. I'm looking up there and I'm seeing Mars and a few other planets that I really don't know which ones they are, but I could probably look it up. But I'm looking at the moon and I'm hearing the crickets and I smell a skunk a little bit away. Good old country living. I begin to sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There's no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, we can sing about it. We need to sing about it. We need to pray it over our lives. And the reason we need to do that was because when the enemy comes in and he tries to tempt us, he doesn't like hearing about the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why he doesn't like hearing about it? Because at Calvary, he thought he had Jesus defeated, but the whole underlying thing was he was being set up by God himself. Satan doesn't like to be played because he likes to be the biggest player in our lives, but the bottom line is, at Calvary, Satan was played. Satan lost the game. He got tricked. The con was on him. The bottom line is, it was through the blood of Jesus Christ that brings salvation. It was through the blood of the man that he said that to the crowd, yell out, cry out, crucify him, crucify him. It was through that blood that put a permanent control over him by none other than humanity itself. Because if we have the blood continually applied to the doorposts and the mantles of our lives, Satan cannot deal with the blood. You know anybody that passes out from seeing blood? Anybody here pass out from seeing their own blood? Don't be embarrassed. You're going to help me make a point. We got a few, I think, because they're laughing back there, but nevertheless, when Satan sees the blood, he tempts us. Maybe we fall into some kind of a sin, whatever it may be, and we go back and we ask God to repent, and we repent, and Satan's up there at the throne, and he's accusing us. Oh, God, look at that. Look at Larry Conley. See him down there? Yeah. Uh-huh. And God just says, what do you mean, look at Larry Conley? Larry Conley's down here. He's crying. He's repented. And that blood is just flowing all over him. And God says, well, this is what I see. And Satan looks down from heaven. Now, this is just a fictitious kind of a... Just roll with me on this. He looks down and he sees all Larry covered in repented blood. He gets all his eyes and his knees all get wobbly. And he's just... Right down he goes. He can't handle the sight of forgiveness blood. You see, there's enough power in the blood to cover every sin we will ever commit. So don't worry about failing. There's enough blood to cover. I don't know how many sins I've committed since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's just far too many than I could ever write down, okay? The world would be full of volumes, all right? Don't be so high-minded and hypocritical that you're not putting yourself. You know how you are, and you know what you struggle with, so don't look at me, all right? If that's the case, then there's pride, and pride needs to be under the blood, so... Be honest, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But you know what? I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't come in and say, well, you know, Roy, it's third time this week. Boy, I'm out of blood. I'm sorry. It'll take a while. They got a blood drive on Saturday. I'll be the first in line to get a few bags. You're fourth on my list. I'll get to you. That's not how it works. You know that. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I love that verse. I love that. If you want to stand to your feet this morning, the musicians can come. I don't know what it is that you need the blood over your life this morning. I don't know if it's sickness. I don't know if it's a sin issue, a recurring sin issue. I don't know. And one thing I do know about the blood is it covers everybody and every sin. So you may be here this morning, and your sin may be you just lied to your wife, lied to your boss. I don't know. You feel guilty about it. Maybe you've got a seed of bitterness that's grown from bitterness into a full-blown tree. It's destroying your life. You're allowing that seed of bitterness. See what happens to bitterness? You know what happens when a seed... I like the way the Bible puts this. I like the way the scripture, the analogy of a seed of bitterness. Because you know what happens to a seed, Bishop? When a seed begins to sprout, it grows upward and outward. And that's exactly what bitterness does in your life. It grows upward and outward. Maybe you have the sin of offense. Maybe somebody's offended you, and you just simply can't get over it. Boy, the blood covers all kinds of stuff. It covers sickness. It covers hatred. It covers bitterness. It covers racism. If you got an issue with a brother or sister because of their color of their skin, that's a sin. You need to just say, Lord, I need you to cover this. I need to repent of this, get it out of me, and you cover it under the blood. Because you know what happens if it's not covered under the blood? Satan looks down there and he sees that seed still growing. And he just over there pouring fertilizer on it. He pouring his own devilish concoction of Miracle-Grow on your seed of bitterness. And what's today is just a few inches tall. Next week's going to be a few feet tall, and pretty soon it's strangling you. I'm thankful for the blood. If you need a fresh application of blood on your life, come on down. You need a healing? You got just whatever it may be. I'm just thankful for the blood. I wouldn't be here without it. You need the Holy Ghost this morning? Come on down. Don't be embarrassed. You haven't repented of your sins. Our altar team, come on down. You got a battle? Listen, there's nothing that'll take and fight a battle like the blood of Jesus Christ. You're losing the battle you're fighting? Come on down. Pray the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. Say, Lord, I want your blood. I need your blood over my life. I need forgiveness. I need overcoming presence of the Holy Ghost. And as our praise team starts to sing, ministers and elders can come down.
sin. Reach out to him. Reach out to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Nothing but the blood.
To him. Yeah.